Hey everyone, it's your host here, Jake Hirschman. Excited for you to dive into these highlight episodes, whether you're a longtime listener or first-time listener. These are going to be shortened episodes from the past that bring you the best of the best of the content from great guests. Enjoy these and want to take a quick moment to thank our two sponsors, Suju Organic and Screen Skins. Get your 15% off Suju Organic at sujuorganic.com with the code LIFO, L-I-F-O, and visit screenskins.com for 20% off at checkout with the code LIFO24. Get your screen protector today. Thanks. Enjoy the episode. This is the Life in the Front Office Plus, where we dive deeper into personal and professional development, share nuggets and highlights from previous episodes, and bring you new content to provide insights and perspectives beyond the front office. Enjoy today's episode.
All of the people, right? We've talked about teamwork, leadership, and trust. And any of these businesses that have grown to be global have all been based on teamwork, leadership, and trust. Right, Basil?
Well, you hit the nail on the head. You know, there's a few little interesting connectivities. You know, Andy and I, we both have twins. I got 30-year-old twin boys. And as they talk about their career, neither of them are in sport, technically, we are or have been, and their opportunities and this and that. And I say to them, I went to work at the Indiana Pacers. And the person who was my boss, who, again, those early jobs and figuring it all out, she's still one of my closest friends today. And I know Andy has the same situation. The idea that the person I worked for in really my first full-time sports job, 45 years later, you know, I'll probably pick up the phone today and say, hey, I was talking about you today. I only wish that for my kids and whatever they do. And as a matter of fact, even after that, the people I worked with at the TV station, they're no longer with us, but if they were still here till the day they were gone, they were among my closest, dearest people to help me along the way. So I do think this business does allow for that. I hope it still does. It certainly did in my career, that it's close quarters, you're working, there is all of the sport, the fandom, the seasonality and all of that. And you really pour your heart and soul in, you become a family in your working organization. And if you're lucky, I'm very lucky. I got half a dozen of them. But if you get one or two people that you stick with and they stick with you, it makes it all different than selling insurance. The thing about WWE that I think is important, and it all, to me, it wraps it all together. So I started, it was WWF. The first time I ever heard the term sports entertainment came out of Vince McMahon's mouth. And Vince was, let's face it, he hired my resume, right? So here I had Procter & Gamble, and the Indiana Pacers and Ohio U master's degree. And back then, as I said, they were still considered like a traveling circus, rock and roll show. You know, it was just that thing. And he already had the vision to create a branded form of family entertainment that would ultimately be PG instead of, let's call it then, maybe NC 18 or whatever it was, you know. So he told me right at that first situation, and I could do 45 minutes in front of any crowd and never say the word wrestler. And that was what because that was this broad stroke of like referring to Disney as animated cartoons. And that was his point all the way. We're a branded form of family entertainment in the sports entertainment business. And we are a unique property called, at that time, WWF, then WWFE, And still today, one of my favorite ever campaigns that I've heard of, I had nothing to do with, is after the WWE went from WWFE, World Wrestling Federation Entertainment, they finally went to WWE. And the catchphrase for that was, get the F out, which at the time was a little more edgy than it might sound today. Always had that vision. And I like to tell this story is Vince had this vision of what we were, what the perception in the marketplace was. And I will tell you, he set me out as the first, followed and joined by many, to be the apostle of this isn't wrestling. This isn't that. This is Disney-like. And I told somebody the story last week. I spent 35 years at WWE. There are people who have never seen me without a jacket and tie. And you will not see Vince McMahon in that office. Even during the pandemic, I went over there once. There's four people in the five-story office building in Stamford. Five people total. He's there, tight, you know, dressed, ready to go. And inside that office was far more IBM-like than Ringling Light, even though the world outside would never believe it. And I watched that culture be created, be delivered, be nurtured, and just an amazing situation, a story which, you know, will get told, but not with the gritty detail.
Like you said, it takes time to make history.
I had left the WWE. I was working in horse racing. I get a call from Vince. Hey, I got an idea, come in. I go in on a Tuesday. We sit there for the whole afternoon talking about he wants to start a football league. So the company had just gone public. This is October of 1999. And so I'm kind of overwhelmed, you know, whatever. But I got a job. I'm working in horse racing. It's cool. I go home on a Tuesday. I said, well, Vince, you think about it. I'll think about it. We'll figure out what's next. I don't know. Thursday afternoon, my phone rings. He says, where are you? I haven't heard back from you. I hadn't even thought about it again. He said, get back in here tomorrow. So I go back in Friday at noon. On February 3rd, 2000, we stood up in Times Square and announced we were kicking off in a year. And the only people there were Vince, me, and we had hired Drew Pearson as our representative in the football world. And so from that, we had a year to kick off. We knocked the ball out of the park for everything except the product. Okay. And sold out crowds. We did a 13 rating in prime time on NBC for opening night, except we advertised and delivered the worst, advertised the restaurant, delivered bad food. And it was as simple as that. Vince never let it go. You know, the 30 for 30, I think it was like 2015 or so. They do the 30 for 30. And Vince, asked me to dust off all the info, and we dusted it off in 15. We dusted it off in 17. And the only thing he was absolutely sure of is, one, we was going to own it alone. There was not going to be a partnership with a media entity, which we could talk about that in a whole nother episode. And the second thing was, we were going to spend the time to make sure the product was worthwhile. And for the 2020 kickoff, he spent the money and the time and hired the expertise. And the football was, I have always said, and I've said this in meetings publicly and privately, I have always felt, and I think we proved it, that the football in the non-NFL instance of anybody trying to play football is sort of pass-fail. It's either good enough or it isn't. It's never going to be great, but it can be good enough. And Vince spent $500 million and 20 years. And I'm going to tell you, in 2020, he had built an organization that was good enough. And if not for the pandemic, I do believe XFL 2020 would have worked. Now, between you and me, after a two or three year horizon,
remember, we're on a podcast here. So I don't know about you and me. I mean, that's
all right. Well, that's okay. Between you and me and the world out there, success built something like the XFL is easier to launch and be successful than to keep going. No union yet, none of those success factors. And, you know, the football players in the XFL were employees. So we had 800 employees in a startup. So it's expensive, it's risky, it's hard work. But I will say that I believe that Vince bought and paid for a position that would have been successful. At the early part of the career, something we touched on, go for it. Don't worry. Go for it. The drive for success, for winning, which all of us who are athletes and, you know what that feel is should far outweigh the fear of defeat or the fear of failure. So the only way in this business is to go for it.
It's all about the competitive gene. You don't have to be an athlete. As long as you've competed in something as you're growing up, whether it's debate, music, the arts, it doesn't matter. As long as you've won and then you've lost and picked your butt up and went back in it to whatever area you're in, that to me, and it's not a secret, as the three of us and many more know, there are no secrets in this business. You show up early, you stay late, you outwork all the other people, whether it's a front office of nine or a front office of 900, and you can usually move through the industry. You don't have to have a PhD in quantum physics. You just have to graduate from a college, be able to write, be able to talk, be able to sell. We haven't talked about that. Sell, 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 and not be afraid of it. But as long as you have the competitive gene, you can have a place in the industry.
Thanks for listening to today's episode on the Life in the Front Office Plus. And remember to share with a friend or colleague, leave a review, and tune in to each weekly or monthly episode across our shows.